Today is Saturday, 19th of February, 2022, and we're gathered here for the 21st session of the Mindfulness for Beginners in English program. On behalf of the organizers, I would like to welcome, with permission to speak Bhante's name, representing Nisaranavane Forest Monastery, Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero, to today's session. I would also like to welcome all the organizers and attendees at today's session. And I'd like to welcome everyone participating today via Zoom. Before we start today's program, I'd like to encourage everyone participating, if you feel comfortable to do so, to share your camera feed with us. The ability to see each other while we participate in the session helps create a sense of community and can also help Venerable Dhammakusala feel connected to us during his instruction. With that, I would invite Venerable Dhammakusala to start today's program with our in-session mindfulness practice, which is our usual way of commencing these sessions. Over to you, Bhante, with much merits.
Hello, everybody. So today, again, another program, we are connected here. So initially, we will take about 15 minutes to practice mindfulness as a group. So for that, I thought maybe we can do a sitting session today. So you have to make sure that you are seated comfortably. And what we are going to do is that we are simply going to pay attention that we are sitting. So make sure that you have comfort in your seat. Once you have that comfort, you can close your eyes and be aware that you are seated. Notice what you can feel when you pay attention like this. Maybe you are hearing the sounds from the surrounding. Then you may notice some bodily sensations as well. Your back, how the legs are touching the ground, the sensations of the feet, you might notice. Maybe you can notice the breath as well. Ingoing breath, you may notice. Then after a while, outgoing breath, you may notice. Going in and out. Maybe the prominent sensation is at nostrils. Maybe the movement of the stomach according to the breath is more prominent. Some of you might even feel heartbeat kind of a vibration inside your body. Time to time, thoughts may appear. Your attention will go to thoughts. When that happens, you can just become aware that your attention is with thoughts. With that awareness, you can again and again bring your attention to the seated body. Sometimes you may feel sleepy. Sometimes pain or irritation in your body. Whatever appears, we try to be mindful. We try to be aware of these sensations. You are seated here in this moment among all these things. So as a group, we will try to appreciate the present moment for a few more minutes. Now you can open your eyes and take a moment to notice how you feel after 15 minutes of sitting practice. So this is the idea. Every day we take some time and try to be aware that we are sitting. Simply close your eyes and notice what you can feel. How your body is seated and what are the sensations. Then same thing could be practiced while walking. You walk comfortably back and forth while noticing what you can feel and how your body is walking, what are the pressure points, how the feet is touching the ground. Simply you can notice and walk back and forth. So this awareness we are practicing and trying to include in our daily schedule, maybe 20, 30 minutes every day, more the better. If you can practice, then you can see benefits for yourself. So that's the idea of this practice. We invite all of you to practice on your own and try and see what you can feel when you pay attention. So with that, we can move forward, Arosh.
Thank you very much, Panthe, for the guided meditation practice and that advice. Certainly for me, that period of being aware was refreshing, but also was punctuated by that awareness of what was in my mind in preparation for today's session as well. But overall, it was a very calming experience, and I appreciate the opportunity. The next section in our program is to go through the Beginner's Guide to Mindfulness, which provides the instruction for participants in this program and is the recommended way to begin your practice. Some of you will be very familiar with this, but we share this information during each session as a refresher, to refresh everyone's awareness as they take part. So as you can see from the guidance shared on the screen, the first step is to familiarize yourself with mindfulness meditation practice while walking and sitting. We have two helpful videos prepared by Nisarnabhane Forest Monastery that describe this practice. The videos linked here provide an introduction to both sitting and walking practice, and we recommend that you watch both. And in a short while, I'll share these instructions as a PDF and text in the chat, so you can copy the links from there. Having watched the videos and familiarized ourselves with the practice, the second step is to allocate some regular time for sitting and walking practice, as Panthe just advised us now as well. You could start with a short period of 5 or 10 minutes of each form of meditation every day. And as you become more familiar with the practice, you can then increase this to 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe eventually 1 hour of regular sitting and walking meditation practice. We recommend that you start each period of practice with mindful walking and then proceed to mindful sitting. And try to spend roughly the same amount of time for each form of practice, which can help you get the most out of this program. Continue practicing in this way for 3 or 4 days until you have completed a total of about 2 hours of practice in each form of meditation. Once you've done this, we come to the next stage of the guidance, which is to describe your experience in a reflection report or practice report. This should describe your mindfulness training experience in your own words, including the primary object of your meditation, what you noticed about the object, and any other stimuli you noted. So for example, during walking practice, you might notice the pressure of your body on the soles of your feet and how this changes as you take each step. You should describe the prominent sensations that you noticed during your practice. You might also notice sounds from the environment and thoughts that arise. You can include this information in your report too. And similarly, with sitting practice, if your primary object is the touch of the breath in your nostrils, you can describe how that feels, together with other things that you notice, sounds or thoughts and so on. Later in the session, you'll hear some experience reports, some examples of practice reports, which will help you understand the form that these usually take. But I would emphasize that you should describe your experience in your own words. This exercise of reflecting on and writing about your practice will help you better understand how your mindfulness is developing. It can also help you to share your experience and get guidance on how to progress, which is the third step of the guidance. Once you have written a report on your walking and sitting practice experience, you can share that with us using the online form or the email address shown here. During the session, we will present your report and Bhante will provide valuable guidance on how you could continue to develop your practice. This cycle of feedback, where you share your experience and receive guidance to further progress in your practice, is an important aspect of this program. Your reports and advice can also be very beneficial for everyone listening. And so we encourage you to share your practice reports as often as possible. Finally, I'd just like to highlight that you can join the program every week and also listen to the recordings of past sessions at the link shown here. So this concludes the presentation of the guide for this program of Mindfulness for Beginners. And with that, we'll now move on to the next section of the program, which is to present the practice reports received for this week and listen to the guidance offered by Venerable Bhante in response to these. So today we have two practice reports, and I would like to hand over to Anupama, who will present the reports and then also facilitate a question and answer session. Over to you, Anupama.
Thank you, Arosha. Avasarai Bhante. I hope you can hear me clearly.
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. So we have two practice reports today. Read from adults. I shall begin reading report one. Walking meditation. Walked 25 steps on tiled floor, watching sensations on feet and legs as primary object. Initially noted right, left, then lifting, moving, placing of each foot. Mind wandered but came back to feet. Itching, pain, tickling, sweaty, pressure, warm, cold, contracting, spreading sensations noted. Get unsteady at times, distracted by sounds on and off briefly and by sights, but after a few short thoughts, mind returned to feet. At times, mind went to other parts of body, but again soon came back to feet. Mind stayed on feet for about 6 to 7 stretches before it wandered. Walked 1.5 hours with some short interruptions. That is the end of the walking meditation, Bhante. The next is sitting meditation. Watched breath as primary object after the walking session. Cold in breath shorter and warmer out breath longer. Noted more prominent on right. The breath broke up after a short period. Continued to watch. Mind not distracted by sounds. Thought came and went, not distracting. Breath reappeared, still very subtle, and disappeared. Mind noted expansion and contraction of chest and returned to breath. Peaceful. Cold waves passed throughout body, more prominent on right. Breath noted to be away from body for short periods. Diamond-shaped bright light appears briefly. Mind observed, wondering if the sun had come out, and then went back to breath. Meditated for 1 hour. That's the end of the sitting meditation. For the first report, we concluded with a report on daily activities. Swept mindfully, noting pressure of hands on broom. The broom touching the ground, lifting and being placed on floor again. The similarity with the walking meditation contemplated. Also noted, the hands holding the broom less tight when lifting and more firm grip with the sweeping movement. Thank you to Bhante for the guidance and to organizers for the opportunity. End of report one.
Okay, so that's a good report to hear as the first one, because you can see the walking practice is there, then sitting practice is there, then also the day-to-day activities. So this is the way you again and again try to notice these things while walking, sitting, and while doing your day-to-day activities. When you do that, initially you might feel that sounds are disturbing me, the thoughts are disturbing me. That is natural. Initially you are complaining. Sometimes you complain that so many thoughts are coming, I can't be aware, I can't maintain my mindfulness. Instead, so many past, future thoughts are appearing. But that is natural, because now you are aware. You used to get thoughts, but you weren't aware. Now you complain because you are aware. Once you pay attention, you notice that so many thoughts are there. So many ideas, planning, pop into my head. So it's good to notice that these things are happening. So beginner might complain that they are disturbing, they are breaking my mindfulness. But with time, you realize that sounds too are part of the present moment. Then thoughts are also another part of the present moment. Of course, we give priority to our body, but with time, once you know the body, once you know how to observe your breath, once you know how to observe your steps, then of course it is natural that you can notice the sounds, thoughts appearing in this process. So they too, part of the present moment. You can't get rid of them. It's the natural movement of your mind. So you get sounds, you get thoughts appearing. And try to see, can I be mindful among these things? When I hear sounds, can I be mindful that I'm hearing certain things? When I get thoughts, can I be mindful that I'm thinking? Mental images, areas, planning, commentary appear in my head. You can just try and see that I can maintain mindfulness. Object of mindfulness may change, but mindfulness you can continue. Breath is one object, sounds are other things, thoughts, various sensations of your body. So they appear, they disappear. Just try to continue mindfulness, and that ability you are developing. Towards the end of your report, you are mentioning that sounds are not disturbing my mindfulness. Thoughts are not troubling me. Instead, I can just be. They just come and go. So you, initially, your mind is so much moved by them. Moved by thoughts, moved by sounds, various ideas, commentary. It is moved. But with time, you develop this ability to keep your mind still. The objects come and go, but there's no trouble in your mind. There's no worry in your mind. Instead, you try to maintain that peace in your mind. Things come and go. More and more you practice, you can develop this ability. Various things appear, they disappear. My mind gets moved by some of them, but still, when you practice more and more, you can realize that I can develop this ability. I can keep my mind peaceful, although various things appearing, disappearing, this process is happening. So this is the way more and more you practice. You can realize now my mind is not moved by them so much. Initially, it is moved and even higher than the things that come into your mind. Your mind is creating trouble. Your mind is creating worry. Certain things may happen, but you anticipate more and more difficulty. So that worrying nature will gradually disappear from your mind. The thoughts will appear, but still you are not worrying so much. Your mind is coming back to the natural status more and more quickly. So that ability you can develop when you practice again and again. So that is why we encourage you to practice even during your day-to-day life. Whatever the activity you do, can I be aware? Can I pay attention to that? That way of practice is very much valuable. Otherwise, you can't separate time for formal meditation. Maybe 1 hour or 2 hours, you can do maximum. You can't do more than that. So the rest of the time, you have to function as usual. Go to work, take care of your family. Those things you have to do. So can I be aware while doing these activities? One thing at a time, and that done well. That is the idea. So sweeping, can I be aware that I'm sweeping? Having a cup of tea, can I be aware that I'm drinking something? Eating a snack, can I be aware that I'm eating? And just spend a few minutes with that activity. And then you go to the next one. So like that, you try to pay attention during your day-to-day activities as well. And more you practice, you realize earlier these things used to move my mind. These things created so much worry in my mind. Now, although they happen, although the troubles come, although the people come and blame me, I'm not so much moved. That is the ability we are developing. Even in your report, we can see that. Initially, the sounds, thoughts were a bit troubling, but towards the end of it, you are saying the sounds are passing. I'm not that much worried. Thoughts are passing, I am not that much worried. So that ability will develop with time. You only have to continue your practice. And when you continue, you can really feel the difference in your day-to-day life, the difference in your mind, you can notice. So that's the invitation. Try and continue your practice and try to share with the group as well.
Thank you, Bhante. I shall proceed to the second report of the day. It starts off with walking meditation. Arrange to walk on tiled floor along a path of about 15 steps. Started by standing and noting sensations of pressure and cold on the soles of the feet, which were more prominent at heel, ball, and toes. As body swayed slightly, the sensations shifted, becoming more prominent at toes or heel, depending on whether weight was shifting forwards or backwards. With each step, noted how pressure and cold reduced on foot that was being lifted from heel to ball to toe. The pressure on inside of the other foot increased and eased as the foot that was moved forward was placed on the ground again. The process repeated for the other foot, and walking continued in this way until the end of the path was reached. Stopped and noticed how the weight of the body was more evenly distributed between both feet. Noted twisting of ankle and knee as each foot was lifted and turned. This time, the weight was placed on toes and ball of foot before the heel was placed on the ground. Took 4, sometimes 5 steps to complete turning around and stood for a few moments before starting to walk again. Occasionally, a thought arose with an image or memory in the mind and noted how this led to two or three subsequent thoughts before sensations at feet became more prominent again. Sometimes noted the sensations on other parts of leg as the fabric of the trousers touched them. Each time the attention returned to the pressure and cold sensations on the soles of the feet. The practice continued in this way until the bell rang at the end of 30 minutes. Next is the report on sitting meditation. Sat on cushion on floor and spent about a minute sweeping attention from head to shoulders to hands and then bottom and legs. Noted any tension and tried to relax so that the posture was balanced. Then brought attention to sensations of air moving through nostrils on each breath, in-breath and out-breath. Touch inside nostrils was more prominent during in-breath, and touch on upper lip was more noticeable on the out-breath. Noted the cold sensation inside nostrils on in-breath and wetness at top of nose that then moved down to the back of the throat. Felt the urge to swallow and noted pressure at back of mouth and throat as swallowing action took place. Returned attention to sensations of breath and maintained this awareness for some time. After a while, noticed that body was swaying forward and awareness of breath had disappeared. Noted sleepiness and decided to open eyes and return to more upright posture before returning attention to breathing. Noticed sleepiness return after some time and once again lost awareness of breath. Repeated process of opening eyes and gently adjusting posture. Was able to maintain awareness of breath for longer and continued practice until the bell rang after 30 minutes. End of report two, Bante.
Okay, so when I hear your report, there's something valuable. It's valuable to the group as well. Now, towards the end of your sitting session, you are mentioning that you lost awareness of your breath. And with that, some changes happen, right? Sleepiness is one sign, and then you can't maintain your posture. So those are signs that your breath is disappearing. And when that happens, it is natural to feel sleepy. And it is natural to have difficulty with the posture. So what you are doing, you are opening your eyes, adjusting your posture, and trying to return your attention to the breath. So towards the end of your report, you have done it for maybe a few times. And again, the same thing happens. So this is a turning point in your practice. Now, initially, we selected breath as our safe haven, and you started your practice. Compared to breath, you observed the surrounding things, maybe the sounds, thoughts, they were there, right? But breath was your safe haven. That was your safe house. But what is happening when you progress in your practice, this breath will disappear. As soon as the breath disappears, it is natural to have difficulty with the posture, and it is natural to feel sleepy. So these are connected. These are signs of a change or turning point in your practice. Now, what is the turning point? Now you have to somehow develop the ability to maintain awareness without breath. This is the time to let go of breath. If you try to hold on to it in this moment, then your practice is not progressing. So initially we give breath as the object to hold on to. By holding on to breath, you let go of other things, right? But with time, now it is time to let go of the breath as well. That's how the practice is evolving. When you send a rocket, I'm not talking about the recyclable rockets, the ones we used to have. So when you send that, you are firing one rocket, you are going some distance, then you are shedding the first part, then firing the second one, again shedding that part, only a little bit, a small piece will go into the space. So same way in this practice also, we are first holding on to some things in order to practice, but with time, you have to develop the ability to let go of them as well. So this is the time to let go of breath and try to see what is happening with this sleepiness, what is happening with this posture. Try to stay and observe. It is giving you a lesson. Although you try to maintain, although you open your eyes, as soon as you close your eyes, again, the same thing is happening. So you don't want to go towards that direction. You are trying to maintain your comfort. You are trying to maintain the familiar way of practice. But the practice is telling you again and again, now it's time to let go. Now it's time to move into an unknown area. So next time you have to go prepared. Now you know that this sleepiness is coming. Now you know that this difficulty with the posture is coming. Can I be prepared? Can I just stay with them and see where they are taking me? So these signs, they invite you to go on a journey, but you are refusing. You are again and again coming back to the known area, coming back to the comfort zone. Next time, go prepared. Try to experience this. Try to go through this experience. Try to stay with the sleepiness. Let go of the posture. Let it drop and see what is happening. In this point, your control is not there anymore. When we don't have our control, we don't like that situation. That is what we are practicing now. In your family life, in your work, you want to have control over things. If you don't have control, you don't like. So in this practice also, at a point, you have to let go of the control. Your body start to change the posture. Sometimes it is shaking. Sometimes it is moving back and forth. Sometimes the upright position is not there. So those things are happening. You want to maintain the control, but you can't. Try and see, I'm letting go of the control that I have and just be the observer of the things that are happening. Where these signs are taking me. So you have to welcome that change. You have to be prepared and go and see, can I face this? Can I take this challenge and try and see the next part, next phase of my practice? If you have that courage, then next time you can give us a much better idea about the part that is about to start, the next phase of your practice. So that's the invitation. Try and let us know what is happening when you let go of the breath, when you let go of the posture, when you stay with this sleepiness, what is happening and try to experience that. Next time you can report back to us telling this is what happened. I tried to stay with this sleepiness. I tried to let go of the posture and let the body adjust my posture. And this is what happened. This is what I experienced. So that experience is a turning point of your practice. So try to practice and let us know next time what's your experience.
Thank you, Bhante, for that very valuable advice and for the guidance. I'm sure it's helpful for not only the individual who presents the reports, but all of us present today. The next step is for us to ask any questions we may have from Bhante. This is your opportunity. If you would, if you do have a question, please do raise your Zoom hand and we will give you the opportunity to speak. I'll give you about 30 seconds, perhaps, to respond. I can see, Mihiri, you've got your Zoom hand up. If you can kindly unmute yourself and ask Bhante your question, please. Yes, we'll unmute you from mind. Yeah, I think you can speak now, Mihiri.
Avasarai Bhante. After writing the report, I mean, when you finish sitting or walking, when you're reflecting on the report, is it worth writing the reflection as well? Like if you're sitting, if you're doing sitting meditation and after, you know, you take a little bit of time to reflect after the meditation, do you need, is it helpful to write that part as well? Or just writing the report is the reflection?
Okay, I think it's better to focus on your experience, what you experienced, and that part you can write. All okay. Right, that is the most important part. Then if you want, of course, you can add the reflection part as well. But the most valuable part is your experience. When I sat down, what was my experience? When I walk, what was my experience? That experience, if you can write in simple terms, that is a good start.
Okay, Bhante, thank you.
Thank you, Mihiri, and thank you, Bhante. I think we've got Arosha, who's got his hand up. If you can kindly unmute and ask your question, please.
Thank you, Anupama. Avasarai Bhante. My question relates to the your advice relating to arising of sleepiness. Having had the experience of that myself, I've also felt I've just fallen asleep. My awareness in the moment of sleepiness may have been there briefly to know I am now sleepy. But then the next point of awareness has been, I've been asleep. I don't know for how long, but that's, and so I'm just curious, Bhante, is that the advice, that to just let it happen? Is that a valid experience in mindfulness practice?
Yes, so in this practice, you can try to change your posture, try to, you know, do something else, try to take a break. But the best advice is to go through it. Just face the situation that's coming. Let's say sleepiness. If it comes, let's say it is coming while sitting. So the advice is to continue your sitting till that sleepiness disappears. Right? If it is coming in the walking, the advice is to continue that walking session till that sleepiness is disappearing. So whatever comes in that posture, we try to finish it there and change to the next posture. So that is important. So we are just trying to go through the experience instead of avoiding, instead of going in a roundabout way. We try to go through. So there's this saying that bison, right? When a storm is coming, this animal is so strong, it is moving towards the center of the storm, right? So the other animals, they are skipping, they are trying to avoid. So they go even kilometers trying to avoid this. But this strong animal, bison, they go through the storm and they come out from the other side much faster, much shorter distance. So that is the idea. When unknown things come in your practice, you want to avoid. Avoiding is natural. That's our habit, no? But we try to face them. We try to go through these situations and try and see what is happening. Only thing is you have to go prepared. Now you know these things are coming. It's not a matter of one sitting session. Again and again, you get the opportunity, no? So again and again, you can go prepared and try and see. Now, last time was not successful. Now this time, can I face it? Again, tomorrow, you get another opportunity. Day after tomorrow, you get another opportunity. So that is the way of practice. This is not a matter of, you know, few hours, one sitting session. It's not. You have months and years to continue this practice. So in other words, we say this is not a 2020 match. It's a test match. You get 5 days, right? You have enough time. Can you just simply try and face this situation? Can you little by little navigate this situation towards a better place? So that's the idea. If you think this is a 2020, then you have to, you know, come and, you know, you can't take that much time. But life is not like that. Again and again, you get so many opportunities. Again and again, you get opportunities when you function. Again and again, you get angry. Again and again, you become lustful. So these are opportunities, right? Yesterday, I got angry. Yesterday, I responded. Now today, I'm facing again, right? Then day after tomorrow, I'm facing again. So that way, you little by little improve yourself, little by little navigate towards a better place. So that's the idea of the practice. So try and see how you can face these situations, how you can be like a bison and go through these experiences. If you start avoiding, it is a never-ending process. So that's the idea I wanted you.
Thank you, Bante.
Thank you, Arosha. Thank you, Bante, for that very insightful advice. We've got Kumudini, who's got her hand up. If you would like to unmute yourself and ask your question, please.
Thank you. Avasarai Bante, I think maybe very similar kind of question. Let's say example in my meditation, sitting meditation. Sometimes I feel that, you know, my head drops, right? So then what I do is like consciously, you know, thinking that I'm, you know, maybe raising my head, I raise my head. And then I have observed, you know, there are some instances, again, it drops. Again, I do the same thing. Again, it drops. Again, I do the same thing. So I understand, like, based on whatever you advise, maybe I need to avoid maybe raising it up. But I would like to, again, ask you, is that the right thing to do?
Okay, so initially you try to correct yourself, but with time you realize, although I try, there's no use. Again and again, the same thing is happening. Sometimes it drops so much, you avoid his touching the ground. Dropped that much, right? So you just like a dead body on the ground. Then sometimes if it is a common place, other people are walking around, you feel ashamed, but still, you are on the ground like a dead body. So those are experiences that we have to go through. You lose control of your body. Sometimes you lose control of your mind. So as soon as that happens, you try to find a solution, try to fix it. But this practice is that anyway, I don't have control over my mind. Anyway, I don't have a control over my body. If I have, then I would adjust it. No. Now, a few weeks back, I was sick. Then I can command my body, get better. But it is not answering. It is not responding to my request. So we think we have a control over our body. We think we have a control over our mind. But it's a very little control. You get a saying, but it's a little one. It's like you are in a rented house. While living in this rented house, you claim ownership to it. In this practice, we try to realize that this is a rented house. We can't stay here forever. It is not under our control. So that experience is valuable. So let it drop. Try and see. Tell the body, you drop it, you adjust it. I'm not going to do anything. And see what is happening. After a while, it will adjust automatically. Or after a while, it will drop further and your forehead will touch the ground. Still, you can continue your practice. Now, like a dead body on the ground, but you are aware. Right, so that's the way of practice. Try and see if you can come back with the feedback next time. It's better.
Thank you, Bhante.
Excuse me, Anupama. I think we've lost your audio for some reason, but I think that concludes the question and answer for today. So with your permission, we will carry on with today's program. Much thanks to Bhante for all the advice and guidance, and also to Anupama for hosting the reading of the practice reports and the Q&A session today. We now come to the section of the session where we invite Bhante to deliver a talk on mindfulness to further support our practice. So therefore, I would now like to invite, with permission to speak Bhante's name, Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero, to deliver a short talk that will help us develop and continue our practice of mindfulness. Avasarai, Bhante.
Dear friends, I think we can spend about 15-20 minutes having a discussion on our practice. So today I would like to give you some information, give you an idea about the way of practice. And this is usually our minds are confused. We are confused. We are utterly confused. That is the usual behavior of our minds. We don't know what is happening. Majority of the time, we are just responding. We are just reacting to the situations that surrounds us. So that is the usual way of life. So when you think about animals, they too depends on survival, right? When they go after food, they go after water. When there's fear, they try to get away from it. When there's pain, they try to get away from it. When the season is right, they try to create more and more similar animals. So they just continue their survival. That is the animal world. And when it comes to humans also, they too are part of the animal world. But they have this higher capacity. The capacity to ask themselves bigger questions, the capacity to think beyond this day-to-day survival. But it is unfortunate that most of the people they could even spend like entire lifetime without thinking beyond this day-to-day survival, without knowing that their minds are confused, without knowing that they are just responding to the surrounding situations. So it's unfortunate to see people spend maybe 50, 60, 70, 80 years without doing this experiment, without thinking beyond this day-to-day survival, without going beyond the capacity of the animals. So it is important that we ask ourselves the bigger questions. What is happening? Who am I? And why am I responding this way? So those are questions, those are valuable questions. So simply it says that know yourself. That is the advice of Socrates. He's saying know yourself. When you know yourself, compared to you, you know about the world. So it is important that we pay attention, try to notice what is happening inside us. Try to notice that our minds are confused. Try to notice how we are responding to these situations, how we are reacting to these situations. So only way is simply pay attention to yourself. Be aware about yourself. While walking, take some time just to walk without thinking about a destination. Just walk back and forth and try to notice what is happening. Try to be aware. Without having a task in your mind, just sit for a while. Just for the sake of sitting, just sit for a while and try to notice what is happening. Then your day-to-day activities, while doing them, try to notice what is happening. Try to notice what are the thoughts that are appearing. Try to notice why you are responding this way. So those are good observations. We try to know ourselves. Again and again, you pay attention. You try to be aware. So that very awareness will change your life. If you know the reasoning behind your acts, then you might behave in a different manner. If you know that you are caught in this process, then you might start to respond in a different manner. So that is the experiment we are doing again and again. We try to know ourselves. Again and again, we try to experience what is happening. Again and again, although we lose awareness, again and again, we bring our awareness back. Instead of just becoming a slave to the surrounding situations, we try to observe, we try to be aware what is happening. And as soon as you pay attention, so many difficulties come. Some people, they come and complain that before meditation, I was fine. Now, I am having so much trouble. I am getting so many thoughts. And my body is always aching, paining. I notice these things. Although it comes as a complaint, it's a good sign that you have started the practice. You have started to notice that so many thoughts are popping into my head. So many sensations are there in my body. That's a good starting point. So you have to tell this person, okay, that's a good sign, positive sign that you have started your practice. Now, among these thoughts, try to notice again and again that you are sitting. Try to notice again and again that you are walking. Try to notice again and again that you are doing some activity like sweeping. When you do that, you realize when I pay attention to my body, I'm not giving priority to the thoughts. My mind is not lost in thinking. As long as I observe my body, my mind is free. My mind is peaceful. As soon as I lose awareness, it goes and it goes to the thoughts, it goes to the planning, it goes to the commentary that is happening. So this is the trick. Now, instead of letting your mind run wild, we try to bring our attention. We try to observe some neutral sensation in our body. But it is not energetic. It is boring. So people come and, so many people come and complain. When I observe my body, it is boring. Thoughts are vivid and colorful. I can think thoughts for hours, but observing body is not that energetic. It's boring. That's another complaint that comes in the practice. As long as the sensation is neutral, our mind is not so much energetic to observe those things. As soon as the thoughts appear, it is vivid and colorful, you go after it. So it is important that you know the behavior of this mind. It is important that again and again, you practice awareness and try to identify what is happening. So let's say some person on the street, while you were passing them, they said some words, some hurtful words. As soon as you hear those words, there's commentary in your mind. You become angry. So you start complaining, why are they blaming me? I haven't done anything. All these stories go, right? But the person who are aware about themselves, although this process goes automatically without your control, you try to be aware of what is happening. Now, I heard these words and there was an assumption. I assumed that these words were said to me. That assumption comes automatically and suddenly you are angry, suddenly you are sad. So without responding to that anger, you can just reflect back and observe, did they say those words to me? Maybe they were talking to somebody else. And if you investigate further, maybe truly they were talking to somebody else. Truly, they were blaming some other person. But you thought that those words were said to me and you got angry. So those responses, they are automatic. So the person who is aware, he tries to be the observer without reacting to these situations. Try to notice, due to this situation, I got angry. Now I want to go back. I want to return the favor to those people. Let's say those words were said to you, but still Why should you get angry and give the control to those people, those unknown people? Why should you take those words and be angry for the entire day, for the remaining hours? Why should you stay angry due to those words? Why should you stay sad due to those words? So this is the way to observe yourself wisely and try to notice what is happening. So usually most of the people, when they hear words, they automatically think that those words were said to them. Then certain things happen, they automatically think that somebody planned and intentionally did these things. Those are natural responses, but the practitioner, they try to evaluate again and again. They try to observe again and again, and see, should I get mad due to these words? Should I get mad due to these situations? More and more you notice in your mind these responses, less reactive you would be. Even sometimes the words were said to you. Even sometimes somebody did something bad to you. But still, you can just have control over your emotions and try not to give the control to other people. Otherwise, your remote control is with them. Whenever they come and push buttons, you are reacting according to that. So in a way, we are trying to claiming our real ownership. If you are reacting to those things, then people can come and control you. As soon as you say these words, they know that you get angry. As soon as you were praised, they know that you will do anything. So instead of become a victim to those situations, you try to take the control. You try to not respond in the usual ways, not react in the usual ways. Instead, you just take a break, take a breath, and try to notice, how should I feel? I feel angry. How should I feel? I feel sad. So those observations again and again you are doing. And once you start observing yourself, you don't have even time to give attention to other people, because you are very much aware about your mind, the emotions in your mind, the situation of your mind. That observation we try to control again and again. We try to maintain that observation throughout our day. And when you do that, when you start this practice, when your mind realizes the process of letting go, little by little, your mind is relaxed, your mind is released. It is not so much moved by those situations, those words. Instead, you realize that every moment this life is refreshing. Every moment you are getting a second chance. Can I utilize that chance? Can I utilize that opportunity and navigate towards a better direction? Let's say there are some things that you have done. You can't go back in time and correct them, no. But still, you can just make a determination in your mind. So I have done these things. Can I adjust myself in the future? Again and again, you might make mistakes. But again and again, you try to navigate towards a better direction. Again and again, you try to implement these better things in your life. That's why I'm saying this is not a one day or two day practice. Instead, for weeks, for months, for years, you can better yourself. Little by little, you can create better situations in your life. You can develop this ability to respond in positive manners, positive ways. So that ability we can little by little develop in our life. I have done these mistakes, but can I correct myself in the future? I'm not always telling the truth. Sometimes the lies come naturally, but I know. And in my mind, sometimes I get angry. I know. Sometimes I get lustful thoughts. I know. With that awareness, by knowing yourself, you can little by little correct instead of the ways that you are used to do, instead of reacting to the anger, to the lustful thoughts, you can change your behavior. Not within a day, but still with months, years of practice, little by little, you can overcome your anger. Little by little, you can overcome lust. Little by little, you can develop this habit to tell the truth most of the time. Again, once in a while, the lie goes, but still, you can correct yourself. So these behaviors, they come natural to us. Those are the pathways that are established in your brain. But with time, you can develop new pathways and you can let go of the old ones. Whatever the pathway that you are using, it is becoming stronger and stronger. So if you have a practice of lying to everybody, then that's the pathway that you are encouraging. If you have a practice of sexual misconduct, then that's the pathway you are encouraging. If you have a practice of alcoholism, that's the pathway you are encouraging. So within a day, you can't break that. But with time, with little bit of practice, you try to discourage that usual circuit, usual pathway, and try to establish new ones. Try to establish positive ones. Try to get rid of your addictions. Try to develop healthy meal habits. So that's a lifelong process that you can little by little move towards the betterment. But in order to do these things, first you have to know yourself. First you have to know what is happening inside your mind. First you have to pay attention to that. So instead of giving attention to the surrounding world, try to give attention to the inner world. Instead of trying to know the people that are in the surrounding, instead of trying to know about the country, instead of navigating social media, try to navigate your inner world. Try to move your attention from the outside to the inside. By doing that, you can little by little change your life into a bit better direction. So that's the invitation of this practice. And we encourage all of you to continue and continue to report us. And that's the talk for today. So thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Mante, for that talk. Some really useful reflections and guidance. And for me, some strong resonances in the value and benefit of mindfulness in helping to establish a habit of responding rather than reacting. I think that opportunity to bring wisdom in our daily lives by taking that moment to reflect and understand what is happening and then respond based on wisdom rather than instinctual reaction was a very valuable observation for me from that talk. So thank you very much. We now have some time. If anyone has a question based on the talk, they can raise their Zoom hand and I can invite them to ask the question. So I'll give everyone 20, 30 seconds to ask a question if they would like. I don't see any hands being raised. So that therefore brings us to the conclusion on of today's session on mindfulness for beginners in English. We started today with some in-session mindfulness practice under the guidance of Bhante. And this was followed by a presentation of the guide for this program and the practice reports that we've received. And we also engaged in some questions and answers relating to our mindfulness practice. We're very grateful to Bhante for his analysis of our practice reports and the very valuable insights and advice that he provided for further developing our practice. And finally, we benefited from the wonderful talk that helps us better understand the role of mindfulness for our welfare and happiness. So taken together, these different activities that we covered in the session should help strengthen our mindfulness practice and equip us to continue to develop and report our experiences at future sessions. So in closing, I would like to wholeheartedly thank, with permission to speak Bhante's name, Venerable Homagama Dhammakusava Thero, for his generosity in giving us his time and wisdom to support our mindfulness practice. We hope that the merits of this noble activity will support and enhance Bhante's own practice, and we hope he will be able to continue to guide us during future sessions. On behalf of the organizers and all the participants, I would also like to express my gratitude to Most Venerable Uda Irigama Dhamma Jiva Mahathero for his encouragement, guidance, and support for initiating this program of mindfulness for beginners in English. I would also like to thank all the organizers for their help in delivering this program and for all of the participants for their enthusiastic engagement with this activity. Finally, I have a few announcements to make. First, I would like to share the website of the Nisarabane Forest Monastery, which you can find at www.nisarana.lk. This website provides much information about the activities of the Nisarabane Forest Monastery, together with recordings, both audio and video recordings of Dhamma talks and mindfulness meditation sessions. So it's highly recommended as a source of valuable information to support your mindfulness practice and to find out more about the activities of the monastery. I would also like to share the website of the Satipassala Foundation. This is at satipassala.org. The Satipassala Foundation organizes and conducts programs of mindfulness training for both children and teachers in Sri Lanka and around the world. And again, provides some very useful, valuable resources to support mindfulness practice. And it is much recommended as a source of information. The final announcement I would like to make is just a reminder that this program of Mindfulness for Beginners is open to anyone with an interest in developing their mindfulness practice. So please do invite your friends or colleagues or any other like-minded people that you know to join us. The program will take place every Saturday and the recordings are available online. Anyone can listen to any recording. There is no particular order in which you need to engage with the program. So please do make use of those recordings and encourage your friends to join us. So finally, I'd like to wish everyone well with their practice and hope that you all have a mindful week ahead. We look forward to you joining us again next Saturday. And with that, I will now end the session.